Welcome once again to the Freedom Fiends live weekend radio show. I'm Nima Vidati representing Austin, Texas. We've also got with me today the leader of the free world, Michael W. Dean. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
I am good. This is Mr. Michael W. Dean broadcasting from a secure and undisclosed location, as Sheldon Cooper would say.
Yes, and the reason I called you that is people like to say the President of the United States is the leader of the free world. But look at Barack Obama's worldview. Look at the world he wants to create and is actively trying to create or, quote, lead. And you'll see that it's not free in any sense of the word that I can glean.
So are we going to go right into calling him a baby killer, or are we going to talk about how chess got banned in San Francisco?
I don't know. I guess you got to ease the tip in first, so we can start with San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco has banned public chess playing. We call it Ban Francisco because they so love banning things. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and it's kind of mind-blowing to look at this headline in UPI.com. I had to double-check and make sure I wasn't reading The Onion. The headline is, San Francisco bans street chess, says it's, quote, disguise for, quote, other things. They don't even have a rationale for why they're banning it, at least one that anybody could see as a reasonable person and go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. They just banned it because people complain. Oh, you want us to ban something? Sure. That's what we do all day, every day here at the San Francisco City Supervisors. Is that what they call them, the supervisors?
Yeah, yeah. They're too cool. They're too cool to be city council. They're the city supervisors.
Because they like that word super.
They're the group of justice, the Justice League of incredibly powerful gay men and women.
Yes, the San Francisco Super Friends, we could call
it. And that's not anything against gays. I lived in San Francisco for 16 years, and some of my best friends were gay, but they didn't try to ban things. And actually, the guitar player in my old band, Bomb, was gay, and well, he still is. And he runs a gay bar, and the city supervisor council of elders took away his bar, man. They decided that it – because it was kind of a cool bar. It was not a, you know, fluffy fern bar that played disco music. It was a rock and roll biker gay bar, and they decided that it was bringing the wrong element of gay people to the neighborhood. They wanted a fern bar, so they basically revoked their liquor license and threw them out after, you know, 30 years of being a community watering hole. And wow. That's what happens. That's what happens when things are regulated by governments. Mm-hmm. They can just take mm-hmm. them away. I think people should ban governments because governments are just a disguise for other things like murder, theft, fraud, aggression, kidnapping. Yeah. I could just go on, man.
You know, that's one of the best ways I think you've put it yet, that government is a disguise for other things. And those other things are obviously all those violent things you just talked about. But it's the disguise that gets people to accept the government aggression. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu likes to call the new Iranian president a wolf in sheep's clothing. But he's right in the sense that the president of Iran is a politician. And all politicians, all government officials, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Their real motive is predation and controlling what they consider their herd of sheep. And so that's what San Francisco's doing here. They're deciding, they get to decide who gets to sit on the street at a table and what they get to do, what they can or can't do. And it's really interesting that behind them in this picture, in the background, in the foreground, there's people playing chess, and they all look like peaceful, regular people. They're just playing a game for frick's sake. And behind them, there's an anti-war protest that says end the war in Afghanistan. And isn't that just San Francisco? Not that there's anything wrong with the protest, but then surrounding the protest are men who look disinterested wearing bright yellow vests. Are those like the city officials that have to surround every protest, or how does that work?
I lived in San Francisco 16 years and I saw a lot of protests, and I don't remember in particular. I remember a lot of those people in vests. I think they're maybe they have a rule now in San Francisco where to practice your First Amendment right to free speech and protest, maybe you have to hire at your own expense a bunch of sanitation workers to march with you and pick up your gum wrappers as they fall.
That's certainly what it looks like.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It just blows my mind how square San Francisco is. I mean,
it is, and it's bizarre because San Francisco exists as the not square place in an otherwise square world. Like, it's the place people left Ohio and Wyoming to go to in the 60s. And before that, the Beatniks in the 50s. And before that, I mean, the reason it's a gay mecca, too, is because the Navy in World War II, if they kicked you out for being gay, they would basically deport you to San Francisco. But it goes back like 100 years. I mean, I remember reading this novel that took place. It was written in like 1930 and took place in the late 1800s. And these two friends meet after years of not seeing each other. And they're talking about their strange, quirky, weird friend. They're in London, and they're like, whatever happened to old, strange so-and-so? And the other guy's like, he was last seen wandering the streets of, gasp, San Francisco. And it always had this this idea of a place where new ideas could exist. You know, I mean, the internet basically exists because government nerds, you know, guys who were trying to stay out of the Vietnam War with a college deferment by working for the military industrial complex on their computer systems, all the math geeks got out of getting shot at by doing that. And, you know, they took a bunch of LSD and then invented the internet, basically. That's my take on it. And Silicon Valley was a vast engine for production of wealth and everybody becoming wealthier. I mean, I would say everyone is wealthier in America and in the world than they were 50 years ago because everyone has a supercomputer in their pocket. Think about that. Think about the wealth production that came out of that. And San Francisco, I lived there for 16 years. It was really cool when I moved there. When I moved there, you know, I was playing in rock bands and my rent was like $90 a month. And I was living with a bunch of other people and had my own room and dug it. And you were able to like play in a rock band and work 10 hours a week as a bar back in some bar and, you know, make it. And that's how I was in a band that ended up getting signed to Warner Brothers. And then after that all broke up, you know, I learned computers in San Francisco. I went to City College free and it was a great place to be until it wasn't. And then I left. But the thing that made it cool is being chipped away. And one of the things that's cool is that there's guys that set up card tables on the sidewalk on Market Street out of the way of people. It's a really wide sidewalk. And they play chess, and it's really cool. It gives the city some flavor and some flair. And it's been going on for like 30 years. And the city council just decided, no, they might be dealing drugs. We need to clean up the street. And I'm looking at these people. None of them look like they're on drugs or drug dealers. It's a bunch of like middle-aged and old Asian men and some young hipster dudes that look kind of square, like they're not druggy types. And this, you know, some six people sat down and voted and decided we need to take away this thing that makes the city cool.
Yeah. And I think to me, it just goes back to the problem with public ownership of spaces. It is, in essence, the problem of the commons. It's that you have this giant area, this public street with these wide sidewalks, and who gets to decide what goes on there is the city board of supervisors, and they're informed by the people who live in the area. So it becomes about politics rather than about ownership. You know, in LibPair or some kind of free society, somebody would own the street and they would decide, well, I don't want chess playing on this street, so it wouldn't be a big deal because it's their private property. Some other person who had a better vision or a different vision, I mean, you don't even have to put a value judgment on it, would say, well, hey, you know what? I want kind of a hip happening place where, you know, people enjoy intellectual pursuits such as chess. So I'm going to open a street where you have chess players on the sidewalk and people will come and I can have street vendors on the sidewalk too to give the chess players coffee and treats and snacks. And let's just make a whole economy of it, you know?
But Nima, without the government, roving bands of thugs would roam and people would be raping women and never getting prosecuted.
Oh, you mean like happens now with government?
In my county? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we turned to Natrona County, Wyoming, where Casper is, where my windowless bunker is. There's an article in the Tribune this week, the Casper Tribune, or as we call it, the Prairie Pravda. But this is a true story. Few adult rape cases heard in Natrona County courtrooms. So basically, if a woman it's, and I'm not saying like, come here, rapists, it's great. That's horrible. It is horrible. But it's basically I'm showing like, you know, it's not sexy enough for prosecutors here, I guess, to go after rape cases unless there's a child involved or drugs involved or Craigslist involved. And, you know, there's a monopoly on the justice system.
Yes.
They don't allow competing justice systems. So, no, you get raped. That's your problem. Buy a gun and cower in your home.
Right. And again, because the motivations of the prosecutors are political based, they're not profit motive based. You can't tell me that even though it's unpopular or unsexy, as you put it, for the government prosecutors, I find it really hard to believe that there wouldn't be some type of market for it, to where in a free society, somebody would take it upon themselves to serve that need for prosecuting rape. I mean, come on, that sounds like such a basic thing that a human society or a community like Casper would want to have if it was up to the market to decide.
Here's a quote from Casper Police Sergeant Dan Ahmed. Says, I think one of the hardest things is for a victim to come forward and feel that they have taken a great leap of faith. It's a slow process. It is waning physically and mentally on a victim. I'm not giving you any good news here, but that seems to be the place where we start to lose these people.
Well, also, yeah, think about that. Think about who you have to go to. If you're a young woman who has faced this horrible tragedy, you have to go to the police who you read stories about every day, beating people, tasing them, shooting them to death, SWAT raiding them. If you're in a vulnerable position where you feel unsafe and you've been harmed, why would you go to one of the most violent, reputable, you know, one of the organizations in the country with the most violent reputation? You wouldn't. You would feel unsafe by that, even.
In the same period, this four-year period, there were 43 sexual assault arrests made in the county, and just two of them were referred to the Natrona County District Attorney's Office by any law enforcement department.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, that the Trib on the picture, the first picture for the headline, it's a teddy bear and a big revolver next to it. And the caption says, a loaded gun rests on Sarah's dresser next to a large stuffed dog. Sarah says she has an aversion to guns, but since her rape, she has acquired two. So that's one way that the market is working around the state to help these victims feel a little bit safer.
I wish she'd acquired them before the rape. And I encourage all women to all people, but especially women, to get guns and get training, get safe training and accurate training. Learn to use them and move somewhere you can legally carry them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, guns may seem scary, but there's no way that they're scarier than a rapist or than a human predator that would come to get you. So just keep that in mind, and we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole. Collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series. Available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, welcome back to Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Holla. How you holla, doing, holla, man? Holla. I'm good. I'm excellent.
Yes, yes. So Seymour Hersh is back in the spotlight. The who? Amazing
Who's Seymour Hersh?
Hersh.
I don't know who that is. I don't read.
He's a real journalist. Yeah. He exposed the My Lai massacre during the Vietnam War.
My Lai. Yeah.
That's how it's pronounced, because, and I can prove it, because there's a pronouncer. Americans always say foreign names wrong, but there's a pronouncer here that's being read by a Vietnamese person. So listen.
May Lai.
It sounds like May to me.
Let's hear it again here. May Lai. Yeah, okay. May Lai.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. But, yeah, so he exposed that. He won the Pulitzer Prize for that. And he doesn't have any loyalty to the state, or at least to the government. And he's recently gone off on the administration, calling Obama worse than Bush in a recent interview he did with The Guardian, which The Guardian is just they've replaced anybody else, is at least as far as the mainstream goes, the most hard-hitting of the organizations.
And Hirsch was generally kind of a liberal guy, but he's one of those true journalists who isn't giving Obama a pass on being a baby killer and, you know, spying on people all the time. And when I say baby killer, that is a reference to Seymour Hirsch first came to notice and won a Pulitzer Prize for exposing the My Lai massacre in the Vietnam War, which was where basically a bunch of guys who'd been kidnapped by the U.S. government and forced to go be shot at and shoot people decided to just go nuts and shoot a bunch of innocent women and children. And babies, and murdered babies, and there were pictures. And he exposed that, and a lot of returning American troops got called baby killers as a result, because people like to collectivize things. Although I'm sure this wasn't an isolated incident, but when you say, support our government, you know, you may be against the war, but you got to support the troops. You may be against the president, but you have to support the office. You're supporting things like this, and, you know, it's still going on, man. Obama is authorizing droning of wedding parties, and babies are at weddings. Obama's a baby killer. Baby killer.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been massacres of this type, not on this scale, in Afghanistan. Robert Bales was a staff sergeant who alleged – I don't know. I guess it's not even allegedly anymore. But he led this Kandahar massacre in March 11th, 2002, which was obviously during the Obama administration, in which –
2012.
2012. Did I say two?
Yes.
Oh, my bad. I meant 2012. Yes. And he fatally shot 16 Afghan civilians. Many of those were babies and kids. And he actually got punished. I was under the impression that he got something like a slap on the wrist compared to the actions. But no. In August, he was actually sentenced to life in prison without parole. The case in the My Lai massacre was different, though. The guy who perpetrated that only served 3.5 years in house arrest and then was pardoned by the army.
Yeah. Yeah. We should ban governments, because governments are fronts for horrible things.
They really are.
And that's true throughout history. We're not picking on America. That's true throughout history in every nation, at every level, you know, from king or president down to, you know, dog catcher. It's all done with stolen money. It's all done with 51% deciding to aggress on 49%. And it's how governments work, man. It's how it works.
Well, a lot of apologists will say things to the effect of, well, war is hell. This stuff happens in every war. And they're 100% right. I just don't understand how it follows. It seems like a non sequitur to me. If war is hell and this kind of stuff happens, then why not stop it? Why support any war if you know that this is going to happen? Especially wars that are chosen rather than wars that – I mean, if there were Vietnamese at the border of Canada and Mexico invading, which there's no scenario reasonable person could imagine where that was the case. But if that were happening, it'd obviously be different. Rather than sending, you know, drafting regular Joes from the United States, from the part between Mexico and Canada, and flying them over to a Southeast Asian jungle that they don't care about and probably can't point to on a map, and telling them, all right, go out and start shooting. You know, that's so different. And obviously, it doesn't comply with what they call the just war theory. So how could you support wars, especially when they're wars that are chosen rather than wars of defense?
Well, a lot of it comes down to the mainstream media and the fact that it just brainwashes people. And Seymour Hirsch is one of the good guys. He also, I mean, he's been active for a long time. He also exposed the Abu Ghraib thing. But he basically says what we need to do is fire all of the journalists and only keep the ones who can't be controlled. And I like that, and we'll have more when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you for joining us once again. I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interweb from me. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. I am the leader of the free world. I'm the leader of my free world. You know, people say, like,
yep,
George Bush ain't my president or Obama ain't my president. But, you know, those guys are called the leader of the free world. I am the leader of my free world. I'm my own king, man. I don't need no kings. I don't need no one to tell me what to do.
That's how we should all be. Freedom starts at home, and before it even gets to home, it starts in your own brain, the space between your ears, your cranial capacity. That's where you can really be free and always be free. Like Pimp C said, they can lock my body, but they can't trap my mind. I would say that that's as true as it gets. Now, speaking of truth, we had a tiny correction to make. Seymour Hersh actually did not say get rid of 90% of the journalists. Here is the direct quote. Quote, I'll tell you the solution. Get rid of 90% of the editors that now exist and start promoting editors that you can't control. And yeah. I think that's an important distinction because the editors are the real gatekeepers. The editors are the ones who take stuff out of stories, put stuff into stories, and decide which stories get published and even which stories get covered. So if you're talking about this didn't make it in the press or this isn't being talked about, the people to point the fingers at are the editors.
Yeah, I don't know if it can work, though, because the mainstream media, that's kind of like saying, you know, we need to clean up war, and we found someone who was a baby killer, so we're going to throw him in a cage, or we found a country that used chemical weapons, so we're going to bomb them. But you can't clean up a process that's dirty from top to bottom. You can't clean up police having a monopoly of violence by busting the one that you catch on camera beating up an unarmed suspect for no reason. It's not going to change that whole system. That whole system is rotten from top to bottom. And mainstream media is controlled and beholden to the advertisers who are largely the military-industrial complex. The only way that journalism is really going to happen on a massive level and be real is on the internet, or ironically at this point on radio. And I say ironically because literally every radio station has a kill switch that they are required to have where the president can take over all radio stations and broadcast his own stuff whenever he wants. It's called the emergency alert system.
And, Yeah, and the other thing about it too is that you know, I feel like the big media players are responding to what people want. They're responding to that lowest common denominator market. And right now, people want nothing more, and I don't know if you can ever change this, but people want their biases confirmed. That's what they're looking for in the media that they watch. They want their biases to be confirmed. And people grow up not only in public schools, but with all the other fictional media portraying to them that police, the army, the armed forces, the United States governments are the paragons of the whole society. They're how society functions. They're the good guys. And anybody in opposition to those forces are the bad guys. People are grown indoctrinated with this for years and years and years and years and years. And so I think the root starts at how you educate people as they grow up and prevent them from this propaganda, hopefully with propaganda like the Freedom Fiends put out.
Yeah, and one of the things that Hirsch points out here is with the problem with journalism is the prize system. Journalists looking for the Pulitzer Prize. It's packaged journalism. So you pick a target like, and I don't mean to diminish because anyone who does it works hard, but are railway crossings safe and stuff like that? That's a serious issue, but there's other issues too. You know, you win a Pulitzer Prize for things like that. You don't win a Pulitzer Prize for saying Obama's a baby killer. You know, you won a Pulitzer Prize for saying Nixon's a baby killer, but you won't for Obama. And the prize system exists in a lot of things. I mean, the Nobel Prize, it went to Obama, who hadn't done anything, and then later did a bunch of horrible, unpeaceful things. Scientists chase research grants. And Nima Vedati, my co-host here on the Freedom Fiends, won a prize, a journalism prize. He won the Wyoming – what was it?
Looking at it now, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters – first place for best news piece in 2010.
Yeah, and the real journalists win a prize like that and then quit the mainstream media and go somewhere that they're not beholden, like this.
Yes, I do appreciate not being beholden. Yeah, so I think that journalism as it exists today is rife with problems, and Hirsch pretty much hits the nail on the head in this recent Guardian interview. I do encourage you to look that up. He does say there is hope in the sense that it can provide a way out, i.e. disseminating information. And that's the only way people realize the tyranny that they're under or the atrocities that are being committed. The focus needs to be placed on that. And people coming up in the world of journalism need to realize that. And it does happen. You know, the internet's providing that in a lot of ways. And people like Ben Swan, who were really successful in the mainstream media, have ducked out of that system and are trying to make it work independently. And of course, Seymour Hirsch. I mean, he's an independent guy, and people still listen to him, and he's writing stuff like this and saying stuff like this, so there's still hope.
Yeah, and I want to give it our call-in number if you have anything to say. It is 1-855-660-4261. That's 855-660-4261. And, you know, I mean, Hirsch probably would have gotten droned if he'd done this now, and we talked about G. Gordon Liddy, who was tasked with possibly trying to assassinate journalists who were critical of Nixon and didn't happen. Something happened that it didn't happen. But back, you know, even back then they were disappearing and killing journalists. The governments were, and Americans criticize other countries like, oh, you don't have free speech in Nicaragua. If you criticize someone in the press, you get disappeared and killed. But it can happen here. It has happened here. It doesn't happen as widely yet. We're going to have an interview next weekend, next Sunday, with someone who has some information on how they're trying to pass a bill in the Senate that'll basically make you have to have a license to be a journalist, more or less. I mean, basically what it'll do is it'll remove the shield law protections, the First Amendment. It'll remove the First Amendment from people who aren't authorized journalists. And authorized journalists are people who work for mainstream media sources. So basically,
and that's one of the scariest things about the bill is it does seek to define what makes a journalist a journalist, which is a step, just a step away from licensing, from having you have to go and get the government to approve your journalist.
It's an ad hoc license. It is a license without a license application. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yep. Exactly. And that's just horrifying. And Obama has a war on journalism. You know, it's not just the war on drugs anymore and the war on guns that Obama's pursuing and the war on innocent people overseas. There's a war on journalism. There was the case where Obama's Justice Department was wiretapping the AP, just a blanket wiretap, because they wanted to find out who a source was who helped them get a story that that they had anyway, that everybody else had, but the AP came to it first before the White House leaked it. The White House knew they were going to leak it, but to punish the AP for coming out too soon with it before the White House could put their spin on it, they basically threatened them by wiretapping them in a blanket sense, these journalists, just to show them, hey, you know, we can do this. We've got you. We've got your card, and we can pull it any time. And also internal processes and regulations against whistleblowers and sources who go to the media. There's directives about cracking down on them and punishing them and all sorts of horrible things. They want a massive chilling effect so that not only against journalists, but against the people who journalists get their information from.
I have some information nobody else has that I'm going to drop here and not name my source. Everybody's talking about the government going to shut down if the Republicans don't quit being anarchists and quit trying to block Obamacare. The government's not going to shut down. There's an email that was sent out to many, if not all, lawyers this week who are federal practitioners. Basically, anybody who's a public defender in the federal courts or a prosecutor in the federal courts, they sent out this announcement. It says, this is an announcement email message generated by court action through the CM/ECE system. Please do not respond to this email because this mailbox is unattended, which is kind of funny because it's about government shutdown and the mailbox is unattended. But the subject line is judiciary to remain open if government shuts down. In the event of a government shutdown on October 1st, 2013, the federal judiciary will remain open for business for approximately 10 business days. On or around October 15th, 2013, the judiciary will reassess its situation and provide further guidance. All proceedings and deadlines remain in effect as scheduled unless otherwise advised. So basically, you know, they're saying like things that help people are going to shut down, but the government, the federal government court system will still be running you through the mill that throws you in a cage for possessing, you know, drugs or guns that are not a threat to anybody, you know. Right, basically, right. They will still continue the tyranny. The tyranny won't shut down. The bomb factories won't shut down. The troops won't all come home to their wives and husbands and families. The government is not going to shut down. Just the parts of it that are convenient for you. You know, you may not be able to go to the Smithsonian, but Adam Kokesh will still be in a cage for peacefully holding a shotgun in D.C.,
Yeah, it's awful. And
feisty libertarian
whenever I hear
rant,
this
feisty libertarian rant number one,
ding ding. Yeah, whenever I hear the hubbub about government shutdown, I just go, ah, why do you tease us with this
only
government shutdown?
If only.
Yes, I pray for the day that this will be the news that the government may shut down, and people just cheer. You know, people treat it like V-Day or Armistice Day, and they're like, yes, finally we can have peace without this giant federal apparatus constantly stomping on our faces with their tyrannical jackboots.
With their Ertzaz Schnauzerfreuden. Schnauzerfreuden is my new word. It's the German word for shameful joy at someone else's dog, Schnauzerfreuden. And with that, I think we need to go into Sheldon Cooper, because we've been really talking a lot about Sheldon Cooper. Who is Sheldon Cooper, Nima Vedati?
He's a fictional character on the show The Big Bang Theory, who we think is a sociopath, but is also a genius. And somebody pointed out that I don't think he follows the clinical definition of sociopath. Maybe he has some kind of autism spectrum disorder like Asperger's.
Yeah, but I think he's also a sociopath. He's a very likable sociopath, but a lot of sociopaths are, and that's how they come to power. Here's a quote from Sheldon Cooper, and he's totally serious about this because he doesn't say bazinga at the end. When Leonard makes a comment about Sheldon developing a death ray, Sheldon says, trust me, if I had a death ray, I wouldn't be living here in this apartment. I'd be in my lair enjoying the money the people of Earth give me for not using my death ray.
Yeah, that about sums it up. I don't know if you can argue with that logic. And with that said, we'll be back from the market in just a bit. Thank you for sticking with us, Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah.
Okay, we're reloaded. It's Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm experiencing Schnauzer Freuden. Arnold Schnauzenfelder. Isn't he the governor? Okay. He was the governor.
Yeah, he was. He was back in the day.
You know, I talk about how in that movie that I'm in, Demolition Man, they talk about it takes place in the future, and the guy comes out of the ice cube cryostasis, and they tell him that Schwarzenegger was president. He's like, Schwarzenegger, you know, Rocky says like Schwarzenegger. And it was in like 1990 that came out. And this was years before Schwarzenegger had been his governor. And when he became governor, I told my friend, like, wow, they must have had a crystal ball when they wrote that movie. And he said, no, they weren't looking at a crystal ball. They were looking at their day planner.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's so funny how prescient that movie is. Other people are talking about it, too. I heard Scott Horton talk about Demolition Man. He was talking about the scene where who's the girl, the ingenue,
Sandra Bullock.
Who's really famous? Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone are talking, and they have to go find somebody, this bad guy played by Wesley Snipes. And she is asking him about police work, and she's like, how did you find people back then before you had cameras everywhere and surveillance on everybody at all times, which is where we're headed? And he's like, you just went out and looked, you know?
I think he said shoe leather. You know, you went out and walked around and did real police work, as he said.
Ah, yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Did Scott Horton mention that my face is in that movie on Sandra Bullock's office wall with my band Bombs poster on her wall?
Do you think that he did?
No. I think we talk about him constantly, and he doesn't talk about us.
He's talked about us a couple times.
Okay, good. Then I feel better. Then I'll keep talking about him. It's okay. I didn't get my check yet. I'm kidding. There's no checks. Yeah. So back to Sheldon Cooper, man. He's a sociopath. He also has an enemies list, like Richard Nixon. And since he started it when he was 9 years old, it's on floppy disk. Now, we have something on the Freedom Fiends called the Golden Floppy Disk of Redemption, which is basically our imaginary list of people who've helped us. You know, if you donate to the Freedom Fiends, you'll get on the Golden Floppy Disk of Redemption, which is a term I came up with many years ago before.
But if you cross Sheldon Cooper, you'll get on the plastic floppy disk of damnation.
Yeah, he's also a technocrat. He basically believes he and a few scientists as intelligent as him should replace governments and be running the world and telling everyone what to do. And he does say things like, you know, when I'm running the world, that won't stand, you know, and it's something like people playing chess on the side, although he would love people playing chess on the sidewalk. But, you know, it's something as innocent as people playing chess on the sidewalk. And he's like, when I run the world, that will not stand. He's
people
a technocrat.
People playing checkers on the sidewalk because he's also arrogant.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's the thing is he misses the root like so many people miss the root. It's not about who gets to run the world. It's not about who gets to sit on the throne and call the shots. It's the fact that there's a throne in the first place. Because no matter who's on that throne, they're going to be corrupt because they get to have the world at their whims. And it's in their human nature. It's in their self-interest to do what they want, basically. So it's not about who gets to call the shots. It's about why should one person or one small group of people called the shots for 300 million or a billion people.
Or
it's
7 billion people. Yeah.
Or 7 billion people. Like some people say, well, we need a world government and then there wouldn't be war. No, that's false. There would just be war on everybody all the time. The war of government tyranny.
Well, I watched that movie Rollerball recently, which is a great movie from the 70s. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's a really good movie. It's James Caan. It's made in the 1970s. It takes place in 2020. And it's one of those, you know, anti-utopian movies where, as in a lot of those, like, there's no government, but there's basically like four corporations that run the world. And in this world of the future, there's like no trees. They've all been harvested. There's no war, but everyone's kind of enslaved in a technocracy, and there's no war and there's no sports, and sports and war have been replaced with rollerball, which people strive to be able to get to do because you're treated like a king if you're a rollerballer. And it's a death sport that kind of combines like male roller derby with motocross. Like there's motorcycles on the roller track. There's a spinning cannonball. Yeah, it's people die playing it. And
it's very metal.
It is very metal.
It's very brutal.
I think there's actually a reference to it in Death Clock at some point. I'm sure that our board op will know. Because that's all they do there, is they just listen to Death Clock in Minnesota because it's got the Viking roots. And
Speaking of death metal, what was the word you gave me for the double bass drums that you always hear?
Hemi-semi-demi-quavers.
Yes, I much prefer to call it double bass. But I always found it interesting that there's really fast bass drums in metal, but there's also really fast hi-hats in hip-hop. And I wonder why the distinction there. But we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
Worms.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Holla, yes, holla. This is Nima Vadadi from the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you for joining us once again. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there in Wyoming. How's it going, man?
Good. I am the leader of the free world because I'm my own king, man.
You are your own king. And if you missed hour one, I encourage you to go back on the archives. Go to freedomfiends.com and you can find it there. We were talking about Seymour Hersh and his recent criticisms of the Obama administration and the fact that journalists aren't being critical enough of it, saying that he would like to see 90% of news editors in the mainstream kicked out of their jobs working at McDonald's and such.
Well, I also want to say that the name of today's episode is George Bush and Obama are baby killers.
Yeah.
Because Hersh exposed something in the 70s. It was the My Lai massacre in the Vietnam War, where they actually just bayoneted and shot babies, and there were pictures, and you know, it hit the news. It wasn't hidden anymore. And where are the journalists who should be exposing the fact that Obama is doing the same thing by remote control with drones? He's bombing wedding parties. And a lot of those people were screaming about it when George Bush was doing it. And yeah, Bush was a baby killer, but Obama has really stepped up the level of baby killing too.
Yeah. Well, it's sad because the big mainstream players, the media stars, as Glenn Greenwald puts it in a new article on The Guardian, which Glenn Greenwald wins journalism this year. I give him the Freedom Fiends Excellence in Journalism Award.
Yes, yes.
But he has a takedown of Brian Williams. You know, I don't know. I assume everybody's heard this yet, but it's huge news that Barack Obama and the Iranian president have actually spoken. They've had a phone call. Ooh. Hassan Rouhani and Barack Obama had their little date and had the phone date and talked to each other on the phone. This is the first time the leaders of Iran and the United States have spoken at all since the revolution in 1979. So it's
since
huge
the United
news.
States installed or took out or did something with the democratically. No,
since the dictator that the United States installed, or that the CIA installed, Reza Shah Pahlavi, or Shah Reza Pahlavi, as a reaction to the democratically elected Mohammad Mossadegh. I think it was Mohammad Mossadegh. It was Mossadegh. I don't remember his first name. Since that happened, and in 1979, the Iranians overthrew the Shah.
I would say, aren't all Iranians named Mohammed, but your name is Nima, and your dad is from Iran, so you would be able to check.
I do have an uncle Muhammad and a cousin Muhammad, though. So
you're not a Muslim, though.
No, I'm not Muslim. Most of my family is they're not Muslim, but they are Iranian. See, you don't have to. It's they're not mutually exclusive, or you know, you don't have to be.
There's
one
no
to be
causation
the
without connection. What's that?
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah. Wet sidewalks don't cause rain. Iranians aren't all Muslim.
That's the simplest way of putting it. We kind of fumbled around with that. But speaking of fumbling around, Brian Williams, when he was leading his newscast with this news, this is what he said. He said, "This is all part of a new leadership effort by Iran, suddenly claiming they don't want nuclear weapons." Glenn Greenwald just takes this and rips it to shreds, and he says, well, that may be true if you haven't heard anything the Iranians have been saying for the past 10 years. And then he has several quotes from Ahmadinejad, the former president, and from the supreme religious leader Khamenei. And all of the quotes are saying nuclear weapons are reprehensible. They're against our religion. They're against any sense of humanity, and no nation should have them, which is pretty true. You know, I can't really argue with the fact that really they are horrible things that shouldn't exist.
Some of the hubbub of the last guy being saying, you know, he was mistranslated at one point. He said, you know, I would like to see a future where there is no Israel, meaning, you know, that country that was created by the UK and the US.
He didn't even say Israel. He said the Zionist regime. So he said, okay. He basically said the government in Israel.
And it was mistranslated on live TV as, I would like to see Israel wiped off the map. And they never issued a retraction in America. They just ran with it, even after it was proven that that's not what he said. Right. And, you know, everyone was saying, he's a butcher covered in blood. He's saying he wants Israel wiped off the map. But he didn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's what he did say. He said, quote, nuclear weapons are the weapons of the previous century. This is the century of knowledge and thinking, the century of human beings, the century of culture and logic. Our goal in the country and the goal of our people is peace for all. Nuclear energy for all and nuclear weapons for none. This is our goal. So Brian Williams
and the guy is still a sociopathic murderer because
he's a politician.
We're not sticking up and saying he was a good guy.
No.
I mean, it's God.
But he's not the monster verbally. He's not the firebrand who wants to drench the world in nuclear fire. He's not that. Brian Williams would have you believe that, but he's either ignorant of the actual statements coming out of the Iranian government, or he's lying to you, and I haven't figured out which one it is yet.
Well, he works for mainstream media, so he has his media card, so it's okay for him to be on media.
Oh, it's okay for him to lie. I see.
I just think of him as the goofball that wanders the halls in 30 Rock. That's his contribution to the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and he's funny when he does that. He's funny when he's on 30 Rock, or sometimes he's on SNL, I think, or
quit his
the
day
Jimmy
job.
Fallon show. Yeah.
He should quit his day job and just be the walk-on goofball.
Right. He does well as an entertainer. And I guess that's what he really is in his nightly news role, too, because obviously he's not informing people of actual things. He's entertaining them by confirming their biases, which are unfortunately false for the mainstream people.
He wouldn't win a Pulitzer Prize. He'd win a pusillanimous prize because he's a pussycat. He's a chicken. He is timid and shows he is showing a lack of courage or determination. He is pusillanimous.
He is.
Not just Bill O'Reilly can do that. Bill O'Reilly does that because he used to be a school teacher and he just likes to be smarter than everyone else because he uses big words. But he probably just has someone that looks him up for him.
He used to be a school teacher?
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly? That makes so much sense now. That's why he shouts down his guest and says, I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like the teacher back in high school when you'd point out something they got wrong. And even if they did get it wrong, they'd just yell at you until you – were quiet.
I had that happen to me in like seventh grade. Like the science teacher was said some fact that was wrong, and I knew the fact that was right, and I corrected him proudly, raised my hand and corrected him, and I got like a demerit for it. You know, I got like they wrote to my parents saying like, yeah, Michael has a need to show off when he's right. You know, even when we're wrong or something. They worded it some weird way. Like we know we were wrong. And he was right, but he still was too cocky about it.
Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you that the structure of the public school system or the school system in general in the United States is it places obedience way, 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 way above actual education or truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like that has leaked into the media because obedience is obviously obedience to the party line, obedience to the main storyline is definitely primary in their thought process as opposed to what actually happened or what was actually said.
Bill O'Reilly went to Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government.
Ew.
Man, is there like an FDR scholarship for that?
Probably.
Yes. For reporting on how great it is when the government goes and burns crops to raise the prices.
Yeah. Or destroys all the crops with Agent Orange and then babies are born with birth defects for the next three generations.
So I got one more
to come, I'm sure.
I got one more thing to say about Sheldon Cooper and someone saying I was wrong in calling him a sociopath. There's a thing in the newsroom that kind of plays to this. Someone pitches a story that's completely made up because he's trying to get attention and they run with it and they say that America dropped sarin gas in Afghanistan and they have the pictures and they run a whole special on it and get great ratings and then find out it was just made up and they fire the guy who made it up and then he sues them. And what he sues them for is tortious interference, which is basically interfering, playing with someone's torts, interfering with someone's contracts, because he puts the boss that fired him down as a job reference and someone calls the guy and says, hey, would you hire this guy? And he's like, yeah, if you want a really hardworking sociopath. And the lawyer who's defending the editor who fired the guy says, so how much psychological training did you receive at the Columbia School of Journalism? You know, basically this person that wrote me and said, you can't call him a sociopath and gave me the clinical definition of it is saying like, you used a clinical term in an offhand way. I call foul on you, which is kind of ridiculous.
So yeah, he didn't use it as a clinical term. You're not diagnosing a fictional character.
Yeah.
You're just using the vernacular way of using sociopath.
But I really like saying tortious interruptus. But I misread it one time as tortoise interruptus, which is when you pull two turtles apart.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. That's just sad.
That's mean.
Why would you do something like
man.
That?
Yeah, turtles need love.
They do. I saw two snails making love in the wet grass today.
This is family-friendly radio, man. Snails just happen.
Snails just happen. Oh, right.
Yeah.
They're spontaneously generated.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I want you to read this this great thing that Mama Liberty wrote me. I sent her this thing about how people in her town in Wyoming – oh, and it is snowing in Wyoming here. There's snow on the ground. I poked my head outside the windowless bunker on the break. And but Mama Liberty is a great lady. She's the grandma, the gun-toting granny in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, our movie, which you can watch. You can go to gunsandweed.com and watch it. And it basically explains how the war on drugs is training for the war on guns. How, you know, those people that are kicking in all those doors when they outlaw guns, those are the same people that are going to be trained. They're already trained, man. They're going to be like, okay, pot's legal now. Guns are illegal. We're going to kick in your door.
Yep.
So
they won't even really know that they're going after legitimate gun owners. They're going to be told in a dark room at Zero Dark 30 that we got to get this guy. He's a real bad guy. He did this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Obviously cherry picking these federal regulations that he is supposedly violated. And then they're going to hype him up like at the beginning of a football game. They're going to kneel down and say a prayer in a huddle. And then they're going to go out and do their goonery.
Yep. Yep. And we know that because the... There was an article written by somebody who used to be one of those goons, and he wrote, that's how they're going to take your guns. And then we asked him to come and be interviewed on here, and all of a sudden he was like, I can't do that, man. I can't do that. So I think his former goon said, dude, what are you doing? Don't paint us like that. Paint us as heroes, like the mainstream media does.
Right, right. You need a little more Brian Williams, a little less Glenn Greenwald in your writing, buddy.
Yeah. Nicely written article, but you need a little less Glenn Greenwald. Let me turn up the Brian Williams here.
Yes. Some Crazy Rich should do us a vocal processor with a Glenn Greenwald knob and a Brian Williams knob instead of the threshold and ratio on the compressor.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Crazy Rich, man. He hasn't been memeing lately. It's been all Lou. All Lou all the time.
All Lou all the time.
Lou Sandra Fiend, and we'll be back.
Yes.
With more fiends on The Fiend Show. Freedom Fiends. The song's called March of the Bulldogs.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, It's the Freedom Fiends. It's our radio show, and I'm Nima Badati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. What's up, man?
I'm the leader of the free world, and I'm experiencing tortoise interruptus here.
Tortoise interruptus.
In my windowless bunker. My turtles ran away. They went out for a pack of cigarettes, and they haven't come back yet.
There's a chain of bars around Austin that has weekly turtle races. And that's nice. Apparently the big thing to go do.
I'm sure if it was in San Francisco, they'd ban it.
Yeah. I wonder if Tortoise Interruptus is one of the penalties you can get in the turtle race.
It should be the name of one of the turtles. It'd be a great name for a racing turtle.
There you go.
One that like knocks the other turtles on their back so they just stand. Right. So I wrote to Mama Liberty. You know, mamas don't let your babies grow up to be statists. I wrote to Mama Liberty, who's kind of one of my Liberty mentors. She's about, she's in her mid-60s. She's a grandmother. She's proud of it. She's a nurse. She's a sweet little gray-haired old lady that walks around with a gun on her hip.
She puts her birdshot where her mouth is.
Openly carried. Yeah, and she's also the only person I've ever met and hung out with who shot someone in self-defense. She's a cool old lady, and she's real sweet, and she's real peaceful. And she's one of the stars of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can go to gunsandweed.com and watch. And I wrote her and sent her about a note about some secret gun registry the police in her town, or the two towns over in Gillette, are making. And she said, and it was like, it was a call to like start a petition to end this. And she said, I really wonder why people think that writing or calling these cretins will change their minds. And I wrote back and said, I know, right? And Nima's going to read her very poetic and beautiful and strongly worded reply.
She said, just like so many who are screaming about Holder and Fast and Furious gun runners, etc., just what the bloody hell did they expect out of the controllers and tyrants? The moment of truth is surely coming, but I can assure you, there will be no consensus on it. No mass movements of any kind, really. Whatever happens will be done by individuals and their voluntary associations and communities. One of the saddest things over the last few years is seeing so many people waiting for another messiah, a leader, something or someone central to emulate, rather than just being a self-owning, self-responsible person in the here and now, regardless of what anyone else is doing or thinks. The total tyranny may well strike NYC or Chicago, but isn't going to influence the little towns in the backwoods much. So California may finally drop off into the Pacific, but the good folks in northern Nevada and northeast Wyoming won't be swimming with them. There will be parts of most states involved, probably, and vast areas where the chaos in the big cities will simply be bad news. There will never be a, quote, one-size-fits-all, quote, situation or answer. The worst part is that those communities will probably find themselves on their own, cut off from much they depend on to be brought in from other places. They'll be unable to ship out their own products and probably have to deal with electrical outages and so forth. But that won't last forever. With the least incentive and some time, human beings will find a way to live, trade, and learn. We've been doing that for all of recorded history, regardless of the insanity of a few and the roadblocks they throw up. Those who have provided alternatives for themselves and their communities, who have stores of food, etc., and the means to defend them, those people will have a good chance to be the remnant I talk about. Neither the feds nor any other, quote, law enforcement outfit even begins to have the manpower necessary to do much about it. Once the SHTF, the deer hunters in the U.S. alone outnumber the regular armies of most countries in the world. We have to get over this fear of them. We outnumber them, seriously, every single day and hour, and they know it. I believe in humanity. I believe in myself. I believe in you as well, and our ultimate ability to survive and even thrive.
Wow. Now that's an email. You know, people talk
that's
about
an email, yeah.
People talk about like, we need to have the government pay for the post office because I miss getting handwritten letters from my granddaughter. And it's like, that's the kind of letters people used to write in letters. And Mama Liberty still writes letters like that in email. And she's using part of this for a blog post. I was like, this is great. And she's like, yeah, I kind of like it. But, you know, that's the kind of email she writes back when you tell her tyrants are dumb. Yeah.
Right. And unlike a piece of decomposable paper, this will live forever as zeros and ones on your hard drive, on my hard drive, and in the cloud.
Yeah, and people should be BitTorrenting the Freedom Fiends. If you go to freedomfiends.com, that's freedom and then F-E-E-N-S, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra, fiends.com. You can go click on the Torrent Club link at the top and learn how to automatically download new episodes as they post while you sleep and share them with the world in a way that would survive us and our website being droned. So if you want to contribute to to preserving history without stealing money like the Smithsonian Institute. You could just do it by installing a little program and turning on your computer and helping the Freedom Fiends and Liberty without spending a post-1964 dime.
There you go. And we'll be back with plenty more Freedom Fiends after this quick trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. This is our live talk radio show. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. I'm the leader of the free world. I'm the leader of my free world.
I'm the leader. I'm the leader of the free world.
I'm the most important person in this room.
Hello. Hello.
I'm the most important person in my solitary confinement cell.
Yeah. So speaking of solitary confinement, the guy who shot a bunch of people at the Navy Yard, and they just released video of that, and it's really creepy. It's video of him stalking through, and it kind of looks like a video game, and it kind of looks like a movie. It looks like an actor. I think they released it because there's all these conspiracies now when there's mass shootings that there was a second shooter and they denied it. And so they released footage, although it wouldn't prove there wasn't a second shooter. Right. But interestingly, okay, first of all, this is either this was a Manchurian candidate that was produced and made in a lab to do things so they could take guns away, or it's just a great failure. I mean, the government's spying on everybody. But they let a guy who'd been arrested for shooting out someone's tires, who'd called the police and said, someone in the next hotel room is transmitting rays to scramble my brain through the wall. He called the police and told him that. Mm. He also was arrested for shooting into his neighbor's apartment through his ceiling into her floor. And they gave this.
Although he wasn't charged with anything for that.
Right.
An excuse about how he was cleaning his gun while he was cooking.
Ridiculous.
And the police were like, okay, sure. We'll let you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I mean, I would say that's a great failure of Navy military training that they teach you guns in the military, or at least they used to teach you how to safely handle them and clean them. But he did all that crazy stuff, and he was still able to get a, you know, security clearance and work in a government building. And that's a great failure of their spying on everyone when they can't even stop their own guy from doing that. And, you know, the bombings in Boston, I mean, the FBI was there doing counterterrorism drills, like looking for bombs and stuff. And they, and this guy had said,
well, and the Russians had sent things to the American intelligence agencies to keep an eye on these guys, that these guys are somebody you want to watch.
I tell you, man, I said it years ago, and Scott Horton should make this into a bumper sticker. Next time there's a terrorist event and they miss it, it's really simple to explain. The government was busy watching me. They were busy watching people who are feisty and don't like the government but are peaceful. They're busy spying on everybody, and they miss the really dangerous people. So anyway, this guy wrote some weird things on his weapons. And one of the things he wrote was my ELF weapon. ELF stands for electronic low frequency.
Extremely low frequency.
And there's, and the mainstream media is talking about this now, and there's all this talk about conspiracy theory about electronic, you know, low frequency directed energy waves. It's not a conspiracy. I mean, you could download stuff from government websites saying that they use them and have them and develop them and are trying to improve them. The thing that's a conspiracy is there are a lot of people who say they're being used randomly, widely, all the time. And there's websites of people who say, like, I'm getting headaches. It's because of that flower van that was parked in front of my house yesterday. You know, I don't doubt it. Here's my attitude on any conspiracy theory. I don't doubt the government would do crazy stuff and horrible stuff. I don't doubt that they have. I don't doubt that they are. But you can't say, I have a headache, it's the government's fault. You just can't. Right. I want to see
you gotta come. You got to come at it with some better evidence than that.
Yeah.
But there is evidence that these weapons and research on these types of weapons has happened at the hands of the Army. Somebody sent a FOIA request and received back a document outlining some of these types of weapons and some of the government research on them. Back in 2006 is when the document was released. And one of the more interesting things, you know, you can just Google this, Google what directed energy weapons. But the section on microwave hearing is what most interested me. And basically, you use microwaves to send pulses that can heat up parts of the brain. And it's not actual sound. Your ears aren't hearing sound moving through the air. Instead, they're hearing things created in your own brain that are being moved by the microwave.
And they can make words in your head. So this guy was saying, hey, the government, you know, somebody is inserting words and thoughts into my head remotely with waves, and they have the capacity to do that. They literally do, and they've used it in tests for, you know, communicating to hostages without communicating to their hostage taker. They have things that – there's pictures of them mounted on trucks and tanks and Bearcats that they use to – disperse a crowd by basically slightly cooking them and making them very uncomfortable. And if you don't turn it up, and they can also turn it up to the point where it kills. They have directed energy beams. Some of this may have come out of Tesla's research. Nikola Tesla, the scientist who died in 1943 and worked for Edison in New Jersey. And a lot of people say that a lot of Edison's best ideas may have been stolen from Tesla. But when Tesla died, the U.S. in 1943, during that war, the government went into his apartment and stole all his papers and took them. And he was working on a directed energy weapon in the 40s that was, he called it a peace ray. I kind of like that. It's funny. That's
well, according to this document that I'm looking at, they actually say this whole thing about voices in your head. They use that quote when it comes to microwave hearing. Here's the paragraph on its possible influence on subjects. Application of the microwave hearing technology could facilitate a private message transmission. It may be useful to provide a disruptive condition to a person not aware of the technology. Not only might it be disruptive to the sense of hearing, it could be psychologically devastating if one suddenly heard, quote, voices in within one's head.
This is in a U.S. Army document. This isn't something blurry pictures on some conspiracy site. This is from a FOIA request of a U.S. Army document. And, you know, some of this may have come out of Tesla's research. It may have also come out of Ronald Reagan's Star Wars initiative, SDI initiative program that was supposed to be self-defense to knock missiles and satellites out of the sky with particle beams and lasers and masers, which are microwave lasers, basically. And that program never came to anything, and it basically turned into the drone program. You know, it wasn't possible to do it the way they were planning to do it. It was vaporware. It never happened. But some of the technology may have spun off into controlling people and harming them from a distance through walls and making them think they're hearing voices. So it's not crazy to me that this guy went nuts and shot a bunch of people and was saying that, you know, his military was doing things to his brain remotely.
Yeah. Also, and it's very possible that he was just nuts and imagining it all. But part of that imaginary story in his head is based on things that really exist. So he must have known or read about these type of things. And maybe if they weren't being used on him.
Maybe he worked on him.
Yeah.
He had a secure clearance. You know, they're not going to say what he was working on. You know, another thing that's come out is a lot of these mass shooters lately have been on psychotropic medicines, you know, psych meds. I'm not going to name them all by name because I don't want to get sued for naming the wrong one. But doctors hand these things out like candy. I have a friend that recently, you know, went to a doctor for a backache, and the doctor, you know, She was in pain, and the doctor was like, well, I could give you psych meds. You seem depressed. And she's like, no, I'm just in pain. You know, wasn't seeking drugs of any kind, just wanted some help. Mm-hmm. And the doctor tried to give her psych meds. They just tried to give these out all the time. And I had a friend, an old girlfriend of mine about 10 years ago, that was on psych meds. And we were talking about how there are statistics to indicate that people who are on psych meds tend to kill themselves more. And it's even on the warning label. And I don't know if that's more than other depressed people who aren't on psych meds, or if it's more than the general population. I don't know if it's wet sidewalks cause rain or not, but it is in the side effects that they warn you about. And I asked her about that. I'm like, do you think that's possible? And she's like, she gave me a theory that I've never heard anywhere else that kind of makes sense. She said, when you're on these medications, it just kind of turns down the volume on everything to where if you started, for instance, cutting yourself, you wouldn't react and go, oh, it's blood, and stop. You would just be kind of like, oh, pretty colors. It doesn't, you know, you wouldn't have a connection to the reality of the harm.
Right,
so I can see how that would make someone who has a propensity to violence more capable to do it. So I don't think the problem is the gun, man. I think the problem is something somebody's doing somewhere, whether it's intentional or not.
Right, right. Well, even if you take the gun argument, you would just point out that these mass shootings, the vast majority of them are done in gun-free zones. So telling people not to have guns doesn't prevent anything as far as mass shootings go.
Yeah, and Bill Clinton – was it Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter? One of them disarmed
Bill
military.
Bill Clinton was the one that disarmed military bases. And how retarded is that?
If you look at any old photos of from, you know, World War II at a military installation, at the Pentagon, you know, everybody's walking around with a sidearm. Everybody has a gun. You know, a lot of people have guns. And there's military police, and there's all sorts of guns on military installations. And Clinton said, guns are bad. Our military can't have them except when they're in other places killing people.
So, right. And how about the logical inconsistency of that, of your main governmental body tasked with using guns against people violently isn't allowed to have their own guns?
And how about – here's another failure of, like, you know, the government is a giant beast that's so busy spying on everybody that it can't see what's going under its own roof. You know, it's like a they said that some dinosaurs were so big they could be chewing on their tail and not know it because it wouldn't reach their brain in time. And I kind of think that's a good analogy for government. It's a dinosaur chewing on its brain. A really great example is Nidal Hassan, that the guy, the psychiatrist who is tasked with identifying crazy, violent people in the military goes crazy and shoots a bunch of people in the military. I mean, that is just, system doesn't work, man, and you can't fix it. You just got to get rid of it and start over.
Yep. Peacefully. You got to get rid of it and start over.
Peacefully, with knowledge.
Yeah, I guess that's the big thing. And like Mama Liberty said in her very poetic reply is it might not be a mass movement, you know. It might not be at the level where people get it. But the thing I fear is if enough people don't get it, then you're going to have a repeat. You know, you might have a few years of people who are far enough away from the central planners or the cities that the central planners have built, living in what amounts to basically a frontier where they can be free. But those who haven't learned the lesson, because that's the big thing, is people don't seem to learn the lessons of history. The people who haven't learned the lesson that it's the central planning, it's the power structure that proliferates this kind of dinosaur chewing on its tail and not understanding what's really going on in the world. Until you get enough people to learn that lesson, then it's just going to keep repeating in a cyclical fashion.
Yeah, and I also think that a lot of times organizations and movements of, you know, trying to have a central leadership for something is the great undoing of a lot of things, you know, because it makes it easy to infiltrate. It makes it easy to condemn. It makes it easy to take out the head. You know, it can't be a movement. We're not going to have a leader. It's just everyone has to teach everyone. Everyone who's smart and knows the truth has to teach the truth to people who don't know it yet.
And that's what Freedom Fiends are for, and we'll be back from the market in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Okay, KKs, it's the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima V. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Don't say KKK. Huh? You said KKK said, oh, by accident.
I said, oh, KKK. It's a thing. It's a meme in hip hop. Yes. What's his face? Absol says it. And also, Lil Jon used to say it.
I don't know what that is. I'm old.
Okay. Well, you should. Yes. I would go listen to, if you're a listener and you're into hip hop, listen to Absol's Terrorist Threats. That's the name of a song if you haven't heard it already. It's great. And you have heard it. I played it for you. You were like, I like that guy. All right. So
you don't know who Baba Ram Dass is. So there.
Oh, who's that?
Sounds like a rapper, but it was a spiritual psychedelic huckster kind of guy from the 60s.
Was he like Ravi Shankar? Did he play this?
No, Ravi Shankar could actually do something. He could play music. This guy just... this guy was like... People put him in the same class as Leary, but it wasn't nearly as interesting as Leary. He was, you know, he was a Harvard professor that dropped out and wanted to hang around with young ladies and get high. Huh. Yeah, that's my opinion on it. He wrote a book called okay. Be Here Now, but go on.
I'll go on. It's the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
Go be yes, here now. Is. Go be here now, Nima.
Yes. Okay. So we started off with San Francisco banning street chest because some business...
Chest.
Yes. You're not allowed to have chests anymore in San Francisco.
No, ban Francisco. Ban Francisco banned street chess.
Chess.
Yes.
Yes. And that's some sibilance for you.
That sure is. Ow. Ow.
So, yeah, man, the city supervisors, as they like to call themselves, heard complaints from people in an area that has been known for its street chess. And
I call them the League of Extraordinary Tyrants.
That's about right. Yeah. So apparently they can't sit peacefully and play chess anymore because some people complain.
Because other people can't be peaceful if people are playing chess quietly nearby.
Apparently not. Yeah. And the city didn't even go very far or even try to make a legitimate argument about why they were banning it. They simply said it may be a disguise for something else.
Here's my guess. In 90 days, they'll start selling chess licenses and make money off letting people do it. I'll bet you.
Maybe. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Power to license is the power to control. And the government is nothing but a disguise for something else because they're not really banning the street chess because they really feel like it harms anybody. They're banning it because, yeah, maybe they want to license it later and make money off of it because they're nothing but mafia-style hucksters. They're a gang of thieves writ large. Rent seekers. All those things. And so we moved on to Seymour Hersh, who had a feisty rant recently in an interview he did with The Guardian, which we said The Guardian and Glenn Greenwald win journalism this year, and I think they do. And Seymour Hersh wins Journalists Ranting About the State of Journalism Award this year. Of course, he has won an actual award, the Pulitzer Prize, for his uncovering of the My Lai Melee.
Of the baby killers. And we say that now killers. Obama is a baby killer and George Bush is a baby killer because they dropped drones on wedding parties. And, you know, Obama personally authorized the droning of a non-combatant teenage boy.
He did, yeah.
When who's an American? Wait. Who was an American? The guy was an American citizen.
Yeah. Went to American high school, participated in American high school activities, was your average all-American boy. His name just sounded different, and he had slightly brown skin.
And his dad was yelling death to America, but that's his dad. That's not him. He wasn't even living with his dad.
But when pressed on it, Obama's press secretary says, well, he should have had a more responsible father.
Oh.
So you could be eviscerated by hellfire missiles if your father's not responsible enough. So if you have a dad who's maybe not the most responsible, watch out. We also talked about Glenn Greenwald ripping Brian Williams to shreds for when Brian Williams was reporting the news. The lead of his newscast was obviously Rouhani and Obama, the presidents of Iran and the United States, talking on the phone. This is the first time that the leaders of the two countries have talked on the phone or talked at all to each other in decades. And Williams said, for a change, the Iranians are talking about not pursuing nuclear weapons. But it's not a change. It's been that way for decades, as Glenn Greenwald points out. We'll have more Freedom Fiends for you tomorrow on our Sunday show. So tune in, same fiend time, same fiend channel. This has been Nima Vedati and...
Michael Dean. Keep your gat intact and stay away from directed energy weapons. And be your own king, man.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.